I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time.
Time.
Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
I want to start the show today with some good news, some positive news, some positive news that portends good things for our country. It's not in Texas. I wish it was. It's in Arizona. But maybe after you hear this story, you'll call your legislator. Maybe you'll call the governor and the lieutenant governor and everybody else. Maybe you'll demand this happen in the state of Texas. But mostly I share it with you because I don't want you to lose hope. There are good things happening out there. There's a fellow named Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O. He came to my attention a couple years ago, and he's one of these facts first guys. He's one of these guys that he's gotten really involved with education and some of the abuses of education, but he also makes suggestions for improvements. And I follow him on Patreon or one of these. You give him $20 a month, and we've talked about doing that with our show, doing more like special stuff just for listeners who were subscribers. And I may one day do that and give that as a bonus to my team because they work their tails off. But anyway, Rufo does it, and I support what he does, and he sends these updates on what he's up to. And I want to share this with you because this is a success story. You see so many horrible stories in the news. This is a success story. It's in Arizona. It's about Governor Doug Ducey. So here it is by Chris Rufo. Putting parents back in charge. An interview with Arizona Governor Doug Ducey on the state's first-of-its-kind universal school choice legislation. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey is brimming with optimism. The businessman-turned-politician has spent the last 8 years campaigning for universal school choice, and he's finally achieved it. Today, the governor is hosting the signing ceremony for House Bill 2853, which will provide every family in Arizona with an empowerment scholarship account and an annual $7,000 per child to take to any educational institution of their choice, including private schools, religious schools, and homeschool programs. How fantastic is this? He talks about his conversation with Governor Ducey that they were at a rifle range, in Jackson Hole for a conference. And he said that Ducey's the kind of guy that talks about the founding fathers, his Jesuit education, the threats of critical race theory, and his vision for school reform. The governor had tried to pass universal school choice last summer, but came up short by one vote in the legislature. This year, after rallying parents and negotiating with legislators, he had his redemption. Universal school choice has long been the holy grail for conservative education reformers. Governor Ducey has achieved it. And then he talks about his interview. He did an interview with Ducey about what's going on in Arizona, and I'll post that. But for now, I just want you to understand, as frustrating as it gets, there are successes. There is progress being made. There are warriors who are winning. This is a war. It's a civil war for this country, for our institutions, for the hearts and minds of our children. And there are people who are fighting the good fight and winning. And you need to know that. Way to go, Governor Ducey of Arizona. Way to go on so many things, Governor DeSantis in Florida. And even way to go, Greg Abbott, busing the migrants to New York, which send them more. Send them every single one of them. I love it. Cram it down their throat. since we're bragging on Governor Ducey in Arizona, let's brag on Ron DeSantis. Here he is detailing the very moment he knew that the people making the COVID policy were absolute frauds.
They would shame people for even leaving their house in April, May 2020, and you can't do it. And so, you know, some people wanted to bury loved ones. They wanted to do this. And the argument people were making is, well, wait a minute. I can look at the risk of COVID, and it's something that I'm willing to accept because these things mean more to me, to be able to bury a loved one or to be able to do things with my family. And the public health establishment, oh, no, you can't make that kind of cost-benefit analysis. Then, when the George Floyd riots were happening, they actually wrote a letter with thousands of these people signing it saying, we do not believe that rioting and protesting is bad for COVID, that you can do it. Go ahead. Because we think it's so important that you have to do it. And then they said, but this doesn't mean we support all protests. If you're protesting lockdown policies or other things, then you can't do that. And that's when I knew these people are a bunch of frauds. I mean, how ridiculous.
That's how you have to treat them. That's how you have to talk to them. And I'm glad to see common sense isn't dead. I'm glad to see somebody willing to do something about it, not just talk about it. I was beginning to believe that COVID got it. I think this was the tipping point for a lot of people.
Racism has been a pandemic for far, far longer than COVID.
From the front lines of one pandemic to the front lines of another.
All across the country, we're all going to be kneeling in honor of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Out here, the treatment plan is different, but the priority to save lives is the same. And these are life-saving measures.
What I believe is more a deadly disease than coronavirus is hatred.
As protesters across the country and around the world raise their voices over the killing of George Floyd, concerns over the coronavirus take a back seat.
Let's verify, did the recent protest contribute to the spike in coronavirus cases? The study from NBER used data from protests in over 300 large cities across the U.S. The study found no evidence that recent protests have led to the spike in the number of coronavirus cases.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
Wait a minute. Ramon, what was that last part? Play that last part again about the study, the NBER, who said, oh, no. If Black Lives Matter gathers, that there's no spike in COVID.
Let's verify, did the recent protest contribute to the spike in coronavirus cases? The study from NBER used data from protests in over 300 large cities across the U.S. The study found no evidence that recent protests have led to the spike in the number of coronavirus cases.
Wait a second. The NBER, you'll remember, are the same folks that said we're not in a recession, remember? It's all starting to make sense now. The NBER said that there was no evidence that the riots spread COVID. Only MAGA gatherers, or if you were protesting elections, or you were protesting a lot, that would spread it. And now these same people issue their proclamation based on the data
that we're not in a recession. Remember the left-handed, cross-eyed, blind, black, lesbian, immigrant press secretary? She quoted the NBER, remember?
I'm not going to define it from here. I'm just going to leave it to the NBER, as we have stated, how they define recession.
They won't declare one until they have declared one.
I'm just saying that we're just not going to define it. We use the indicators that the NBER, the National Bureau of Economic Research, have used. We've mentioned that a few times.
The elites hate them. And that's why we love them. The Michael Perry Show.
Time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
I still haven't gotten the hang of buying concert tickets online. First, you have to log in and prove you're not a robot. What kind of robot wants to see Adele? By the time you're done, all the good seats are gone, except that one seat in the middle, nowhere near the aisle. I love me an aisle. Easier to go to the bathroom. In high school, you could just stand in line at a record store to buy tickets, maybe meet some guys who wanted to go to the same show. It didn't even matter who was playing as long as you got a shirt to wear to school the next day and you could talk about how awesome the show was. Sometimes I look in my closet and think, really? I saw Matchbox 20? What's this, a service charge? For what? I do all this and print out the tickets? They should be paying me. Okay, let me enter these weird LSD letters to prove I'm not a robot. Shamir Bagheer. Oh, that must have been wrong. Now it's Gorber Oof. What's hilarious is that we're supposed to prove we're not a robot by typing in something generated by a robot. What? Timed out? Oh! I hate technology.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
On Friday, July 29th, Chicago Popo arrested Janya Williams, 18, and charged her with terrorism and issuing false threats. What did Miss Williams do at 18 years old? Well, first you need to know she's a security guard at the Lollapalooza Music Festival in Chicago. She is said to have transmitted an anonymous message to her Andy Frayne Services supervisor using the Text Now app, which said, quote, "Mass shooting at 4 p.m. location Lollapalooza. We have 150 targets." She allegedly told her supervisor that her sister also saw a comparable threat made on Facebook. She allegedly faked a mass shooting alert at Lollapalooza so she could leave work early. As first reported by CWB, the guard is charged with sending a fake text threatening the festival to a coworker who then alerted supervisors. The text, as we noted, read, "Mass shooting at 4 p.m. location, Lollapalooza. We have 150 targets." That set off a chain reaction with the Keystone cops at Chicago and the FBI, who later determined it was a fake. She is charged with making a false terrorism threat. She appeared in bond court and is being held in custody in lieu of $50,000 in bail. She doesn't have the $5,000. She can't cough up the $5,000 immediately. Listen to this story, ABC 7 in Chicago.
An 18-year-old security guard is now facing charges after allegedly faking a mass shooting alert at Lollapalooza. Prosecutors say that she admitted doing it so that she could leave work early. As first reported by CWB Chicago, the guard is accused of sending a text message about the bogus threat to a coworker and creating a Facebook post with the threat. The coworker alerted supervisors, which set off a chain reaction with Chicago police and the FBI. The threat later found to be fake. The guard is now charged with making a false terrorism threat.
It's not funny, but it's funny. You remember when you were a teenager and you had to work? And you liked having a job because you had money. But there was nothing as thrilling as that day you had to shift for Saturday night and your buddies were going to do something fun. Or you had Saturday morning and your buddies were going fishing. And so you might call in sick, even though you weren't. You didn't call in a bomb threat. You just call in sick. You'd try to make your voice sound like you'd been coughing. So right before you made that call, you'd cough a bunch of times so that you couldn't get your breath. And real method actor kind of stuff. You had to get into character. And then you would put on the performance of your life. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Mr. Johnson, it's Michael Berry. Sorry. What's wrong? I'm going to be there a little bit later. I'm real sick. I got COVID. I'm real sick. But no, you stay home. No. I got COVID, but I'm going to be there because I don't want to miss work and put you in a bad situation and everything and, not be. I'll be there. To see, before COVID, if you claim you were sick, they'd go, we don't care. You're an entry-level, minimum-wage employee, $3.35. We can't replace you. Somebody's got to scoop the ice cream. Get down here. Get down here now. And you'd go in. And you might not have been sick, but you might have been. Before COVID, when people were sick, they just, keep going. Get in here. I don't care if you're sick or not. Get in here and sneeze all over, breathe all over the ice cream or the hamburgers or the french fries. One decent thing that came out of COVID was that at least people understand, hey, if you have something contagious, stay home. Stay home till it passes. Don't go out in public. Show a little bit of compassion for other people. I'm not a mask wearer. I'm not a vaxxer. None of that. But if you're sick, and that's not just COVID. It's the other COVID, the common cold. And it's certainly the flu. My wife laughs because I won't do the jabs. I won't do the mask. I won't stay 6 feet away. But if you say to me, hey, I know we're supposed to meet this evening at 7:30. I may or may not have been exposed to COVID. No. It will wait. There's nothing about our meeting that is important enough that I need to risk getting that crap. But I thought you didn't. I think my brother died from it or from the vaccine. I don't know. He was on the tail end of COVID when he passed. He was only 54 years old. What am I left to wonder? Of course I'm left to wonder. Was it COVID or was it the vaccine? He had COVID. But there are people, did you see the Pfizer CEO? After making billions of dollars for that company, telling us that you could not get it. We'd stop the spread if you just got the vaccine. Now he's got it. Of course he does. That damn thing does more harm than good. Guaranteed. We're going to find out that damn thing does more harm than good. And people have died because of it. I believe that. In fact, I'm certain of it. But back to the point. That's too serious. Don't want to be that serious right now. Calling in sick. I tell you what, we're not going to do it on the show right now. But if you'll take a minute, make it brief, get right to it, and tell me when you called in sick. Sometime you called in sick that maybe you weren't. Which, that whole thing's got me thinking. We don't enjoy prank calls the way we used to. Caller ID, now if somebody calls with a blocked number, you're already a suspect. But before caller ID, prank calls were the deal.
How you doing, honey? I'm calling to ask you about the wigs you got down there.
Yeah.
Do you make any wigs out of the 2.2 pound polyester fiber that is humidity and fireproof?
No.
What kind of wig y'all have down there that's on sale, honey?
Then say it again. Human hair.
It's a humidity wig.
Human hair, synthetic.
Oh, it's synthetic human hair.
Yes.
And do that stay right looking? I mean, do it mess up on your head or do it shrink up when it rains anything? My hair is just so raggedy. I hate to go to a wig, a stronger wig, but look like I'm going to have to.
What's
I come see.
Yeah.
Do y'all give a discount for ignorance?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, darling.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
Michael Berry, known as the Czar, also known as El Tocino.
Excuse me, Shirley Q. I saw an old lady on the news, and everybody stand up when she walk in the door. Is she the head of the nursing home?
You mean what we was just watching?
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord, my Tootsie, you is just literally ignorant.
I need me a cocktail for this. You know that was the Queen of England, girl. Yes, she's 90-something years old. She older than Mama is. And,
girl, you heard that? Uh-huh.
Who dog is that? Do it bite? Ooh, call the police.
No, don't call no police.
Oh, girl, I don't know why I was worried about that. Sitting next to a labor lady. Well, what her name is, Mrs. Dormand, or something like that. That's her dog. That's, what's the one her name is? Samantha. And the other one is Miss Rosie. I like Miss Rosie because she old and crippled up and stuff. She don't bother nobody. She ain't got time for nothing. She stay asleep. But Miss Samantha, now she got to talk to you. Did you ever meet Samantha?
I play with her.
Yes, I'm sure she enjoyed it. Now, where my drink at? Oh, here it goes. What I was talking about before I was so magnanimously interrupted.
That lady with the hat upside her head.
Oh, yes, thank you. I believe her name is Elizabeth Regina Windsor II. I believe that's how she signed her name. Now, she have been on that job longer than I've been living. She know what she doing. She one of these people that she don't speak out of turn. She don't tell nothing that nobody is supposed to hear. She a good Christian woman. And,
That sounded a lot like Loretta Berry.
I understand that her job revolves around, she know all the anthems of the world whenever they play for her. She don't have to sing her own. She do not have a checking account or a driver's license. However, she do drive.
Girl, you talking about Beverly Budway. She drive all over Orange with no license, no insurance, okay, nothing, girl.
That's right. Ain't nobody going to bother about it either.
Oh, Lord, Watusi, you seem especially innovative this evening. What is happening with you? I be on that CBR oil.
You better let me see those. Girl, what has she got into now? Well, I see y'all later. You tell your mama and them, I ask her how she doing. Watusa, show me them pills. Show me them pills, girl.
I think I dropped most of them on the floor. I'm so sorry. I need you.
Mm-hmm. So is ignorant.
While some states are dying, Texas is thriving, as is Florida. I read the Houston Business Journal every day, and day after day there have been stories about a housing shortage. There's not enough housing inventory for the demand. Now, what's keeping prices from going even higher is that interest rates have increased. Partners in Building this weekend they're a show sponsor, partnersinbuilding.com. They build luxury custom homes. These are not cheap, low-end. This is your dream house. Your whole life, you've wanted to build your dream house, and you've got an idea of, 5,000 square feet, and you want this, and you want this. Partnersinbuilding.com does that. And that's kind of their niche. This weekend, they are opening their model home at Republic Grand Ranch. Saturday and Sunday, midday, food, stuff for the kids, the whole thing. But this is a high-end house, and they'll have people walk in there, and as always happens with model homes, people will say, I'll buy this right here, right now. Well, no. This is the model home to show you that what we've got over here, this lot, we can build this or something like this for you right over there. I want this one right here. Can't sell you this one because we need to show it to other people. Pick your lot, and we'll build you that house. But what I'm hearing again and again and again is there is a housing shortage in the greater Houston area, especially in the suburbs. There's a housing shortage. There are not enough houses. So when I'm reading that every day in the Houston Business Journal as what's happening in Houston, a listener sends me an email and says, I don't think this is happening in Texas. And he's right. Headline. Home builders say United States is in a, quote, housing recession as sentiment turns negative. The eighth straight decline in the index. The National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index dropped 6 points in August to 49. Anything below 50 is considered negative. Chief Economist Robert Dietz says tighter monetary policy, that means higher interest rates, less money being flushed into the economy, from the Federal Reserve and persistently elevated construction costs have brought on a housing recession. Well, that's true. The supply chain shortage, the difficulty to get products. Call any home repair company right now and ask them how long it'll take to get this or that. I'll give you a great example. I'm talking to Dane Burson. Was it Monday of this week, maybe? I often call show sponsors, but I've got almost 90 of them. So I'm cycling through them. And I'll say, how's business? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's happening in your business? How are you year over year? How are you year over year over year? How are you going back to 19 pre-pandemic? Great, you know, the go-go years of the Trump administration. And I said, you know, how was last year for you? How is this year for you? How are y'all doing? And he said, we're going gangbusters. The only thing slowing us down is product. They do water meters. They do these AccurateMeter.coms, this company. And they do these big water meters for water utility companies. So if you're a development company and you're going in and you're putting in pipe and the infrastructure for a development, he's the kind of guy you would call. AccurateMeter.com would be the company you'd call, and they would provide all the pipes and everything you need in order to put your infrastructure for all your water. And he said, well, the demand is high. So this is the inverse of what the rest of the country. Home builders say U.S. is in a housing recession as sentiment turns negative. So a housing recession for the rest of the company. If Dane Burson's business is not in a recession but is gangbusters, he can't get enough product to sell, that tells you what's going on in this area, right? People are building. Developments are being put in. Because he's there on the front end. By the time you buy your lot and build your house, he's come and gone. The developer buys the big tract of, you know, 300, 500, 800 acres. Then they call AccurateMeter.com and they say, you know, we need all the pipe. By the time they put all that in, long before they start building, why are we seeing gangbusters growth in Texas when the rest of the country is in a housing recession? Why are we counter-cyclical to them? Because people are voting with their feet. People do not like what's happening in California, and they're leaving. They do not like what's happening in New York, and they're leaving. And when they relocate, they go, well, Houston's hot and muggy. But guess what? There's opportunity. Don't change that. Our political climate, our economic climate is why the rest of the country is coming here. It's why your home is worth more. Gets the moms mad at me, but you want me to be honest, don't you? Well, KPRC Channel 2 has the headline: Judge sentences Tomball ISD teacher to 60 days in jail for sexually abusing 13-year-old student for 3 years. I'm just going to say this. When I was a young man, that's younger than, I mean, that one gets really creepy. But I can tell you, when I was 16, 17, 18, the teachers I was hot for had no interest in high school students. But if they had, it wouldn't have been abuse. I'll just tell you that right now. It would have been high-fiving. Or my hand would have been sore from high-fiving. But this story gets very interesting. Judge sentences Tomball ISD teacher to 60 days in jail for sexually abusing 13-year-old student for 3 years. Okay. And the judge is Greg Glass. Remember Greg Glass? He's the one we imagine has a little poodle, and it's kind of, the set is kind of dark, and he's petting the poodle. I would like to let this convicted murderer go because I would like him to go back out on the street and commit.
You mean during a global pandemic?
Think so, precious?
In our economy, where crime is going up everywhere, not just where we're having bond reform or we're not able to have trials. No, I do not feel responsible for that, Mr. Oberg.
One more time. Let me listen to old Prissy one more time.
You mean during a global pandemic and a dip in the in our economy, where crime is going up everywhere, not just where we're having bond reform or we're not able to have trials? No, I do not feel responsible for that, Mr. Oberg.
Prosecutors asked for a minimum sentence of 20 years. The crime, based on the state statute, could have been punishable by up to life in prison. You know, look, I'll make jokes about 16, 17, 18-year-old young men and their teachers, and I know the moms will say, oh, that scars them for life, and okay, whatever, we can argue over that. But this fellow was 13, and she'd been doing it since they were 10. What did you see in a 10-year-old kid? That's pretty jacked up, I'd have to say. That's weird. But let me ask you this. If you really want equality, then when a female teacher sexually, to use their term, abuses a 13-year-old young man, and she gets 60 days in jail, do you think that the reaction would be the same if a male teacher had gotten with a 13-year-old girl? Let's assume that in both cases it was consensual, because that does affect the case. Did this boy want to be with this teacher? Did he want to be with this woman? By all accounts, he did. I'll give you some details on that in a minute. If a 13-year-old girl wants to be with a male, that's awful. Not quite as awful as if he raped her, but still awful because she's too young to give consent. That's why it's called statutory rape. The statute makes it clear you don't get the defense of, oh, she wanted it. Uh-uh. She can't consent. She's too young to give her consent. She's a minor. But you know that this would be perceived differently if this was a male on female. Because guess what? We are different. Boys and girls are different. A man seducing a young girl is very different than a woman seducing a young man. And that's just a fact. So, but here's the weird part about the odd story. This is quoting Channel 2. According to court documents, the inappropriate relationship came to light last year after Bodine, no, that's the woman, notified the school principal at Tomball Intermediate School that she was being harassed by a former student. Bodine told the principal that the 16-year-old boy was making threats to hurt himself and had gotten access to her private photographs and manipulated images of her. Investigators said a search of both her phone and the boy's phone showed several messages and images that were exchanged between them. Some of the images were sexually explicit in nature. When questioned, the boy told investigators that Bodine befriended him by playing an online video game and later began texting him, according to the affidavit. He said the two began exchanging explicit images and had sex shortly after he turned 13. Okay, so he wasn't 10. I was wrong on that. Oh, he's 16 now. I see. The relationship was from when he was 13 to 16. I read that wrong. That's on me. Their relationship continued for the next 3 years. The boy told authorities that Bodine moved into his apartment complex after her divorce and that the two had sex in her classroom and her car several times. Investigators said that Bodine eventually admitted to having a sexual relationship with a former student and sending explicit images and videos. So she goes to the principal at the school where she works and says, "Hey, I'm being harassed by a former student." And that's when they discover, yeah, you're having sex with him and he's trying to break up with you. That was kind of a bonehead move, but you seem to make a lot of bonehead decisions. Now, don't you? I know you do. Ramon wants to know what she looks like. She's a very attractive woman. In fact, you know she's attractive because in her mugshot, she's attractive. If you're attractive in your mugshot, then in real life, you're really attractive. She's got blonde hair. She looks like she's mid to late 20s. She looks to be in pretty good shape, far as you can tell. She got green eyes. Her face is kind of flushed, but then again, it's a mugshot. I'm guessing at that point, she's probably not feeling real proud of herself. And by the way, they've delayed when she has to go to jail because she just had a baby. No, not with him. She's not Letourneau. This woman, she's a busy little teacher.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.